Welcome to the latest edition of the Big Pod Machine. For Gordon Whitmire and my partner Pat Brennan. This is the greatest podcast ever in the universe. Right?
Yeah. Known universe, at least.
But not necessarily great news today as we bring this to you. Pat, you want to tell them what we learned this morning?
Yeah, well, Reds manager Terry Francona, president of baseball ops Nick Frall, revealed the extent of the right elbow injury that Hunter Green is dealing with. He has bone spurs and will, 24 hours from this recording, or tomorrow, have...
March 10th.
We'll have surgery to remove those bone spurs, and it's going to cost him 14 to 16 weeks. So
we think at least.
Yeah.
But that's a July. If that timeline falls into place, like the team thinks, that's a July debut, probably right after the All-Star break. I mean, it times up for maybe right before the All-Star break, but you're not going to bring him back for one start before the break. Yeah. You'll just push him to the after the break. So not the greatest of news.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's your staff ace. He's a 2024 All-Star. Fair to say, just look at the way he started 2025. He was an
early
participant in the early Cy Young conversation in the National League.
Yeah.
And you lose that. I think you and I have some opposing views on what exactly this means for the Reds, but I think we can both agree that that's a big loss.
It's a big loss, but I don't want to minimize it because, unfortunately, like I think Nick Kroll said this, that it could have been a lot worse. I mean, they went in looking, when you're talking about an elbow and you're getting imaging and you're getting second opinions, as Nick Kroll said, you're kind of going in thinking the worst.
Yeah.
And so this isn't anything close to the worst. This is a lot better than it could have been.
Yeah.
And it's going to be arthroscopy, classic. And by the way, the UCL, the Tommy John ligament in there is apparently in great shape.
Yeah.
So there's no issues there. So long term, this looks good. So I don't want to minimize the fact. I mean, this is half a season we're talking about. It's maybe more than half a season by the time all's said and done. But we've been down this road before, Pat. We were down this road last year when Hunter had that groin injury that kind of lingered into a second IL stay that wound up being a couple of months
quite long,
extra.
Yeah.
And he wound up with his career lowest workload, both in terms of innings and starts. And the team made the playoffs anyway. So I think between their experience in handling this and the fact that they're probably a little deep, probably a lot deeper on their pitching staff than they were last year, I think I'm not concerned about it. If I'm a Reds fan, I'm not going to be overly concerned about being able to compete, at least out of the chute.
I'll say something for your point. Terry Francona, when this first became an issue, when Hunter first stepped away from the team to get these two medical opinions, the Reds were very careful not to get out in front of this thing too much. They definitely didn't speculate. But I asked Terry Francona about that depth and if this was a moment where he really appreciated it and felt good about it. And he said, look, I get why you're asking. We're not going to throw in the towel here, regardless of what happens. The depth is there. But let's look at the three guys. Now we started camp with four pitchers vying
who are locked into spots, who are locked into rotation spots.
Sure, that wasn't where I was going, but yes, that's true too. And
four more
vying for the final spot.
Yeah.
Now, one of those players, Julian Aguiar, he's been reassigned to minor league camp. Three guys now going for two open spots. Let's look at those three guys. Let's just take stock, okay? Rhett Lauder,
who's looked as good as anybody in camp in terms of just being able to locate, being consistent, and
lost 2025.
Lost all of 2025. Yes, yes. And he's healthy now. And
Chase Burns.
Debuted in 2025.
Was electric.
Power pitcher, 100 miles an hour, a lot like Green that way.
Yeah. And I know Terry Francona doesn't like to look at stats, but you don't even have to look at his stats. It's been a mixed bag for him so far this spring, I think, fair to say.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And if Hunter Green were still in the picture, I feel like right now I would personally, I'll just speak for myself, I would be leaning toward Chase Burns probably starting the year in Louisville.
At least not in the rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, louder.
I would think they'd want to keep him on a starter's cadence down in Louisville.
Probably.
But you're arguing for a potential.
Well, open. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to count him out
either.
But,
yeah.
But Rhett Lauder's definitely ahead of him this spring in terms of what he's been able to show. And really, the only, again, stats don't really matter, but how you're commanding the strike zone always matters, and how you're manipulating your stuff matters.
And today we saw Brandon Williamson on the field behind us, Salt River Fields at Talking Stick against the Rockies. Mm-hmm. He looked good today, but also another guy who lost all of 2025
right.
in his situation, coming back from Tommy John's situation. So,
and the thing with him is, the wrinkle with him is, like, you might say, well, this is the kind of guy who might be built for a hybrid role or a multi-layered bullpen role. But because he lost all of last year and some of 24, you're going to be careful with him coming off the injury.
All of these guys are potentially going to be on innings limits. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the depth. So, you know, it's not like there aren't drawbacks here. And all things being equal, you'd obviously, I think, rather have Hunter.
Look, a healthy Hunter Green
in the rotation
is a 2.276 ERA guy the last 2 years combined. 45 starts over those 2 years. And an all-star, and again,
no one's saying there aren't drawbacks there with the injury situations that he encounters that continues. Now is it?
Well, I thought we were just talking about, like, when he's healthy.
Sure, yeah,
like,
sure.
If he opens the season,
I'm healthy, saying there's no question that there are frustrations around that. But yes, when he's healthy, I just think I don't think there's a team in the National League or anywhere in baseball that is fixed to part with a player of that caliber. And Gordon, I would argue that when you look at the games when he was available last year, and obviously Hunter Green told us that he was dealing with what ended up being what he learned later to be the bone spur issue over the last five or six starts, and he was big during that stretch for the Reds. He went 3-1 down the stretch to help them get in the playoffs.
Well, he had that brilliant start against the Cubs, and then he also had a really rough start against the Dodgers.
That's true.
Even before the playoffs.
But he had a good start against the Phillies, another great team. Go back to April. He dominated the San Francisco Giants. And in a situation where the Reds needed help to get in the postseason on the final day, they didn't take care of their own business all the way. They took care of a lot of business, but not all of their own business to get in. Needed help on the final day. Needed a Mets loss. Got it.
They got a month of Mets losses.
Yeah, that's true. Without Hunter and those games where he really kind of won them on his own in a lot of ways, I don't see how they get in the postseason last year without Hunter.
Well,
and that's the kind of loss we're talking
about.
You
and I have talked about this, and I think you could make that case for him and any of at least a half dozen other guys on the team, because literally every win they banked was the difference in making the playoffs or not. So, you know, Noelvi Marte's catch against the Pirates near the end of the season. Maybe they don't get in without Noelvi Marte.
Zach Patel against the Cubs at Wrigley.
Some of the defensive plays Brian Hayes made. You know, what Spencer Steer did at first base. You know, you just go on. It's what Sal Stewart did when he came up in September, led the team in home runs. that month. So all of these things came into play. I just think there's a couple of things that make me feel like if I'm the Reds, and by the way, we surveyed a lot of the Reds players, you know, on the day this news came out, and they still hold out the same high expectations they had coming in. And a lot of that's based on the depth. But here's another thing. They've been down this road before. In 2023, they almost made the playoffs, and he missed a ton of time. They desperately needed him, and he came back late, and when he was there, made a big difference. But they did it based on all those young guys that broke in 2023, that sort of youthful energy, and, you know, the stuff that Ellie De La Cruz did for 6 weeks when he broke in. What Brandon Williamson did is he became a better pitcher all season long after breaking in May that year. What Matt McClain did until he got hurt for the last month of the season, hit 300 something or whatever. I mean, he really looked good and had some pop. And then an unheralded bullpen. They really leaned hard on those guys, and they still fell short. But they've done it. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, look, this guy's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He just flat is. But they've done it without him enough now in the last few years that I don't think, as they look at the depth they can backfill with, that they're – I don't think they're scared, certainly. They went 39-33 while he was on the IL last year. It's a 540-something winning percentage. They had a losing record by a couple games in the 90 games when he was on the active roster. Now, that's not his fault. That's not to point a finger at him. Yeah. What I wanted to underscore is they've been down this road before and competed very well.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, man. They have a very soft schedule in the beginning relative to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to take advantage of that, and maybe with a second best rotation by a little bit, still make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And remember, they had Gino Suarez, and they have a healthy Ellie De La Cruz coming back this year.
Yeah.
They might score a few more runs a game.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're – I think that their high expectations of getting to the playoffs and making some noise are still intact.
I'll add to that point again in mentioning that, you know, to get Hunter Green, assuming they get him back, whenever they get him back, if the Reds are in a competitive position, that could be a huge boost to this team.
Nick Kroll called it.
Yeah, a trade deadline.
It'd be like a trade deadline.
That's that's kind of a cliche, isn't it? Injured guy comes back and has the impact.
By the way, they said the exact same thing about the exact same guy in 2023, and it wasn't until well after the trade deadline that he came back.
Right.
And I think Lodolo was kind of in the same boat right about the same time, and he got pushed back too.
So, to be determined.
Yeah.
There, but.
However, did you look at the September schedule?
It's brutal. It's brutal. You could certainly use Hunter for that stretch.
Yeah, and so I mean that's the other potential bright side to this is look, not only have they done this before, and they're better equipped than they have been in years to backfill for a loss like this. But if he does come back, and it doesn't even have to be in July. What if he comes back in August? He could come back on August 15th. And if they're in this thing, which they have every reason to think that they will be, then all of a sudden he's there for 6 weeks. He doesn't have the miles on his arm from the first, 4.5 months of the season. And then if they do get into the playoffs, like, he can help navigate that awful stretch run down the final month plus. Mm-hmm. If they do get in, now he's fresh.
Yeah.
He's fresh and probably hitting a stride about that time.
That would be the ideal situation.
And if at least most of everybody else is healthy, you could be really looking at some nice choices to have matching up against some of the tougher teams in the league that are in that playoff field.
To get to that position in the year, you know, it's a different proposition today than it was 24 hours ago when we were fairly certain that Hunter Green was going to start the season.
Or a week ago.
A week ago.
A week ago.
So that's the timeline here. He stepped away a week ago to get multiple medical opinions on this elbow, which, like I said, he thought he pitched through it. He said he pitched through it during the stretch run last season to help boost the team's playoff chances. Offseason comes along. Late October, he gets an injection for the bone spurs and felt great, got into his pitching program in the offseason, and then when this pops up again about a week before, he said to myself and another reporter last week, this popped up about a week before spring training started. He's been managing the discomfort.
I tell you, the thing about it is, I'll be anxious to talk to him. Like, I think we expect him maybe to be back in camp, getting some treatment and rehab. Well, I don't know if he'll be up to rehab by then, but certainly getting some treatment the final week of camp.
Yeah.
It'll be nice to be able to talk to him and ask him some of these questions.
Yeah.
Because the thing he told us after he made his one Cactus League start was that he felt physically great. He said he had easy velo. He said it felt like playing catch. That seems to belie a little bit of what we're hearing now, is that this was an issue coming in and that it started bothering him over the last week.
Yeah.
To 10 days or whatever.
He woke up on March 3rd, a day that he was going to have a bullpen, and that morning reported stiffness. And then the next day, Nick Kroll was sitting in Terry Francona's office telling us out here in the desert that they were going to have to get this thing looked at, and if there was a problem, try to nip it in the bud. And that ultimately is where we find ourselves a week later.
And Terry Francona told us the same thing, is that Hunter kept telling him, I feel great, I feel fine.
Yeah.
And that maybe he was telling Derek Johnson, the pitching coach, maybe being a little more forthcoming with him than maybe he was with the manager, which, see, I don't know. It'll be good to actually talk to Hunter.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, I'm sure there's an explanation for this. It'd be just nice to be able to ask him.
Yeah. Yeah. In the meantime, we're looking at this 3-horse race for 2 spots.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that at this stage?
Well, I think my thoughts on it, unless something goes haywire here, and again, we've got, as we talk here, we've got a week and a half left before they break camp, and so a lot of things can happen, and you know, but Rhett Lauder has looked so good, and what he gave us as a 6-start glimpse, 1.17 ERA when he debuted in 2024, really suggests that this is who he is, and he's healthy again, and so maybe he's ready to kind of pick up where he left off over a year ago. I like what I've seen. If that holds up, then to me it's a 2-man race for the 5th spot, and then that's Williamson and Burns. The thing about Williamson is, and then this gets into kind of matchups and stuff, is that he would be a 3rd left-hander.
Yeah.
In the rotation, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we're just talking starters. You know, they obviously have stuff to get out both sides, and that shouldn't necessarily be an issue. And I haven't done a deep dive on the what the lineups they're going to face out of the shoot are either. Maybe that makes sense. But the guy that you're missing is a 100-mile-an-hour power pitcher with pedigree, like
a little less worried about matchups.
Not number 2 overall draft pick pedigree, which is exactly the same as Hunter Green. And we're talking about Chase Burns, who last year in 4 of his last 5 starts struck out 10 or more guys. So if he starts looking really good, his last 2-3 times, I don't know how many, I guess he'd have at least a couple more starts in spring. But if he starts looking good, it looks like he's finding his command, finding some kind of rhythm, then I kind of like that.
Yeah. And Terry Francona continues to emphasize, if not every day, it's every other day. The stats don't matter at this point. What he cares about with his starting pitchers is that they feel good, that they're healthy. And so far, Chase Burns is healthy, knock on wood.
Yeah.
And there are positives. Even from a couple days ago, he got roughed up by the Padres, turned around and rebounded really strong against that lineup. Got the last five batters out to close out his day. And Terry Francona was really upbeat about that. So he can build on that. I think Terry's sense is probably, you know, Chase is probably in a good spot here.
But so does Williamson, appears to be, right? So, it's
pretty good today.
Right. So I don't know how they play this out. You know, you would – there's also the – look, six – like we've asked about a six-man rotation. The only reason I bring this up is the explanation when it looked like you had all this depth for not going to a six-man rotation – wasn't so much the off days up front on the schedule, which is always a factor. Nobody starts with a six-man rotation for that reason. But the other reason is it means you're carrying the sixth starter in the bullpen. It means your bullpen's one fewer guy, so that if you have a bad, a short start by somebody and you need to lean really hard on the bullpen, you're kind of an arm down. And so Francona definitely doesn't like doing that. But if your other guy is a Williamson and you can manage his workload effectively enough that you're not worried about how he transitions into this first season since the surgery, then he could be a piggyback option kind of on a schedule where if he's not needed in that role, he's a two-inning guy for sure the next game type of a thing.
Yeah.
And then that gives you, you know, a left-handed compliment to what might be, you know, Chase Burns.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility. I have one other thought on this.
Yeah.
So we talk about if everything goes well with Hunter Green's rehab on this and he comes back sometime in the second half. And again, whether that's right after the All-Star break, whether it's a couple weeks later, maybe the start of August, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, whatever that is, whether he gets the final 6 weeks, the final 8 weeks of the season, whatever it is. Where have we seen that before in recent history? The Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
They've got so many big league caliber, all-star worthy type of starting pitchers. I mean, they went in with 8 or 10 last year, but some were on the IL. Some they slow played into the season. One in particular that I'm thinking about is Blake Snell, the two-time Cy Young Award winner, who made a couple of starts early and then put him on the IL. He didn't pitch again until August 2nd or something like that. He came back and dominated.
Pretty deft move, yeah.
And so all of a sudden, that is a trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah.
That's a blockbuster trade deadline acquisition. And he pitched like a Cy Young winner those last 2 months, and then was a game one starter for them in the playoffs and really helped. You know, Yamamoto had all those innings and answered the bell all year long. Now you had this fresh arm come in alongside of him at the front of that rotation, and they were literally unbeatable in the postseason in large part because of that.
Yeah.
So they've kind of provided a blueprint for this, you know, this kind of being a microcosm, I guess, of that, potentially, in a best-case scenario.
Yes, that would be a best-case scenario. And it is some ways down the line, safe to say.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. And you got it. And you got to stay within, the, you know, sight of the playoff field, too.
But, Gordon, you know how I feel about the NL playoff field, that third wild card. That's
beautiful. Is that what you're banking on again this year?
It might be. Yeah, at this point it might be.
I think they're still in good shape to go out and just compete up.
I told someone yesterday that third wild card, at the very least, it's always just going to be hanging right there. That's what history tells us. It was there last year, and they took it. I think they're in a great spot for one of the wild cards.
Look, man, they got to be thinking bigger than that. And they got to go get bigger than that. Because, look, Andrew Abbott is going to be the opening day starter instead of Hunter Green. You know, in theory, instead of Hunter Green. I mean, it's not like they announced Hunter Green. But he's going to get the opening day start. He was an all-star last year. What that does for a guy in his career going forward is a big deal. Just talking to other big leaguers and who have experienced that. He already was a guy that pitched with confidence and knows how to pitch. And now it just kind of gives him that little extra swagger and confidence. You got Nick Lodolo, who pitched a career high workload last year and finally like kind of feels like, okay, I don't have to worry about this nagging injury or this thing coming up. I can just go. And he's got great stuff. He might be this year's first-time All-Star mm-hmm. if he can get out and if he can pitch the way that he's capable the first half of the season. Yeah. So, you know, they've got some guys that they can start a rotation with that you can kind of lean into a little bit. And then some really talented young guys on the back end. Yeah. And you got a linchpin in Brady Singer who's just an innings eater in today's game who just answers the bell. He had 30-something starts last year. He always has 30-something starts. And so Mr. Reliable right in there. That's a recipe for staying away from losing streaks and maybe, you know, keeping yourself in pretty good position.
Yeah, I agree. The Reds are 8-8 spring training. Do you care?
I don't give a rat's ass about spring training. I don't care how many runs they score. I don't care how many runs they give up. I don't care what the record is. Nobody's going to remember that on April 1st.
Right.
And well, so what I do care about is, like, who's healthy? And, again, who looks like themselves? Like, who looks like they're playing like you would expect them to play? Ellie De La Cruz looks like himself out there. Matt McClain looks like he did when he was at his best in that rookie season so far. And I don't mean just the numbers. I mean the way the ball's coming off his bat, what he's swinging at, how he's putting the ball in play, spraying the field. So these are the kinds of things that are in some cases producing numbers, but yeah, those are the things you look for.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the over-under on people we've annoyed trying to produce this specific episode?
Oh, in the press box?
Yeah.
Well,
no, just from pre-games now.
Reds ownership, Reds front office, Reds PR.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks, Scottsdale's talking stick.
Gary Schatz.
Oh, Gary Schatz, yeah. He's over here trying to work.
Yeah.
People that want to shut down a press box and get us the hell out of here.
Yeah.
So we probably ought to say goodbye.
We're probably approaching double digits.
Let's get the hell out of here. Look, that's a wrap for the latest edition of the Big Pod Machine. Pat Brennan, I'm Gordon Wittenmeyer. Hang with us and tune in next week. Hopefully it'll be a little more upbeat than the ace going out for 4 months or 3 months or whatever it is. Until then, take care. We'll talk to you next week.